It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. The most famous rhino in the world died on Monday. His name was Sudan. He was 45 years old, and he was the last remaining male northern white rhino. There are two females left of the species, but neither of them are capable of breeding. And that means that barring some great technological feat, the northern white rhino will soon be extinct. It's a time to consider humanity's role and our sense of responsibility here, says Jennifer Jaquette. Jaquette is a professor of environmental studies at NYU and author of the book, Is Shame Necessary? New Uses for an Old Tool.
Sudan was the last male living white rhino. He was a captive reminder of the extinction crisis, and he did not exactly die, you know, as a lot of the headlines said, but he was put down. So he was euthanized. And I would say his whole sort of life, death, and, you know, now the way that we're talking about him really is part of this sixth extinction that we're living through, and a reminder that humans are just so very much in charge right now. And so with his death, you see a kind of public response, but then you also see the very, very personal response of the people who actually knew him and, you know, that took care of him every day, and the great feeling of loss that comes from knowing an individual who also happens to be, you know, one of the last members of his species. This is really Africa's moment like that, but there have been others like this in history. You know, Martha, the last passenger pigeon, died in the Cincinnati Zoo. Lonesome George in the Galapagos Islands, the last Pinta Island giant tortoise, he died in 2012. We're seeing not only that we understand extinctions from this broad conceptual idea of fossils, which is what we knew in the 18th century, but now these animals are like living fossils, you know, and their end is almost preordained as a great sadness and anticipated as such.
Well, put Sudan into the context of what you mentioned, the sixth extinction. It's a term coined by Elizabeth Colbert. She wrote a book by the same title. This is a much broader phenomenon. And you talk about these two sides of it, the mass extinction of species all over the world that humans are responsible for, and then our focus, sort of our sentimentality for the last ones of an individual species.
Yeah, I mean, we're living through the sixth extinction, which humans are responsible for, and even broader context, this idea of the Anthropocene, the idea that humans are really in the driver's seat and that we are a geologic force, that we are changing the earth so much and the inhabitants who live there. So it's interesting to me that you have this idea conceptually, right? And then we have these moments where we can really see that when we see the last individual die in captivity. And this is almost like a weird existential crisis when this occurs. I mean, like I said, it's very personal for some of the people that knew these animals. And then there's the broader social context, which is that we're all, as humans, grappling with this new role that we're playing as, you know, kind of completely in charge of these animals' fate. And so you have kind of two, I would say, responses for the people that feel bad about this is, and I would say my response is, we need to do something about the issues that are causing extinctions. So habitat loss, in the case of the northern white rhino, we need to do something about the trade for rhino horn, the demand for traditional medicine, the demand for the horn to be used in these dagger handles. And frankly, I don't want to see white rhinos brought back into the world until these issues are dealt with. But then there's another camp that says, we don't really need to deal with the issues that are causing extinction, or these issues may sort themselves out over time. The important thing is we maintain this genetic diversity, and they want to bring the white rhino back through technological solutions like in vitro fertilization and a process called de-extinction, where you're using genetic material, sometimes combining it with other like close animals, because the white rhino is actually a subspecies. You could use other species of rhino to sort of recreate these animals. So there's some very strange discourse around all of this. And I'd say a lot of it, though, is symbolic of the issues that we're facing with almost all of these issues, like climate change. Some of us want to mitigate carbon emissions. Others of us take a more technological approach that, oh, we'll be able to address the emissions or soak up the carbon in a technological fashion. So yeah, a lot of this maps well onto the discussions that we're grappling with on so many other large-scale planetary issues.
Do we understand ourselves any better when a rhino like Sudan dies and a species becomes extinct?
I think we understand the predicament we're in, and a lot of us grasp the idea that we're behind it. So, you know, extinction is a relatively recent idea in human history, and it was really only at the end of the 18th century that we kind of understood, at least in Western culture, that the extinction crisis was a real thing, or I shouldn't say the crisis, the phenomenon. And that was really understood through the fossil record. So most of us, including me, I mean, my experience with extinction, especially as a kid, were the dinosaurs. The idea that, oh, this was something that happened in the past, and animals have been evolving, and they've been disappearing. But now, when these animals, the last of their kind, like Sudan, disappear, we say, oh, no, but we're watching these animals disappear before our very eyes. This is a really uncomfortable feeling. And again, reminding us that we're in the driver's seat. And unlike Lonesome George, where, you know, habitat loss was the primary issue for the Pinta Island giant tortoise, we're talking about direct exploitation. Rhinos are dying because poachers are killing them. And we have to grapple with that as a species, that this is a very direct result of human intervention, of humanity leading to this extinction. And that's a heavy cross to bear. And I think it does make us see ourselves and the problems we're creating for other animals in a new way. But other people, again, they apply a kind of balm to this wound by just thinking, okay, yes, we're losing species, but we're becoming so technologically adept that we will change the world and we will bring them back, and they will come back to a world that is decent or maybe even better for them, like wolves in Yellowstone or something like that. And, you know, maybe on a good day I can get on board. But right now I really think, you know, I don't want to see the white rhino brought back to a world where we haven't addressed the problems that brought them to this brink of extinction to begin with.
Jennifer Jaquette, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer Jaquette is a professor of environmental studies at NYU and author of Is Shame Necessary? New Uses for an Old Tool. Well, we asked on our Facebook page if you feel responsible when you hear stories like the death of Sudan, the last male northern white rhino. Caitlin told us, "I am ashamed of every little thing I do that contributes to the demise of the creatures of this earth. We have so much culpability, and we do so little to change." But Greg wrote this to us, "There are inequalities and tragedies occurring every single day across the globe. Were I to be forced to feel guilty for every single one of those events because of my inaction, I would live a life hardly worth living." You can always weigh in, share your thoughts with us on Twitter. We're at The Takeaway, and we always want to hear from you on this show. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.